Amen. Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you this morning as we gather together on this day to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Just like to remind you to please make sure that you read our bulletin and go to our webpage to stay abreast of all that is going on here at Olney Presbyterian Church. Our first reading this morning comes from the book of Colossians. We'll be reading from chapter 3 of the book of Colossians, beginning at verse 1 and reading through verse 11. It's found on page 1075 of your pew Bible. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you once also followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourself with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all in all. Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. We'll be reading from the 12th chapter of Luke's Gospel, verses 13 to 21. So again, let us listen to God's word for us. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." And then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God." It's the word of the Lord. Amen. One of the things I like about Luke's gospel are the parables. I love the parables in Luke's gospel, and he has some of the most iconic parables. We looked at one of them a couple of weeks ago when we heard Jesus tell the parable of the Good Samaritan, probably the most well-known of all the Lord's parables. But this week, Jesus tells another parable, one that's probably not as well known or as appreciated as the Good Samaritan, but probably one that's even more relevant to our time and place and circumstance. And the parable, of course, has come down to us as the parable of the rich fool. That title might sound a little bit absurd to us, a little bit oxymoronic for many of us. To be rich is its own justification. To be rich is what most people aspire to be. When we think of being rich, we don't usually think of people who are foolish. despite the various examples where that is indeed the case. But when we think of being rich, we think of people who have been the winners of life, the people who have been the success stories in life. And so we have a very positive image of those who are rich. But this parable this morning is not so much about riches, which is a relative term, but it's about greed. And greed is something that can afflict any of us, whether we are rich or poor or in between. And that's what Jesus says this morning. He says for us to be on our guard against all manners of greed. Of course, you don't have to have a lot of possessions to be greedy. You don't have to have a lot of stuff to be afflicted with greed. I was reading an account of some monks who had renounced just about everything. They'd renounced worldly possessions. They renounced money. They renounced position. They renounced everything in order to devote time to pray and to study. And you would think that for people like that, greed would hardly be a problem. But it was interesting because they ended up fighting each other over something as simple as a pen, or over a book, a writing instrument, or a book. And so you don't have to have a lot of stuff to be greedy. Greedy can afflict any of us at any time. And we're reminded, of course, that greed is one of the seven deadly sins. The Bible has far more to say about greed and wealth and money and possessions than it does about many of the other things that we often get worked up about in our day and age. In fact, we don't tend to get worked up very much about greed at all in our society. We live in a society that tends to believe that greed is good. For many people, the name of the game is about having more and more, more money, more food, more things, more tax cuts, have more and more. The more you have, the better you are. And so we believe that greed is good, and all of that sounds reasonable to me. But the thing about greed is that you never seem to have enough. The more you have, the more you want. You never seem to have enough. You ever notice that? The more you have, the more you want. Have you ever had something and then you got it and you obtained it and then you wanted more of it and then you wanted more and more and you could never get enough? And that's the way greed is. I sometimes like sport coats. I have this sport coat here that I bought many years ago. But I bought it one time during the summer, and I already had a sport coat. I had a nice blue sport coat that I'd bought. It was a summer coat, and I said to myself, you know, that's a nice summer coat, but I need another one. You know, I need one of another color. And so I went out and bought another sport coat. I bought this nice gray sport coat. And then I got it, and I said, you know, that's nice, but I need another one. I need another color, another sport coat. And so I went out, and I bought me another light sport coat, light brown sport coat, and they got them all on sale, but you know, I wanted more and more, and that was just for the summer. You know, then the seasons changed and it got cooler, and I said, I need another sport coat, one for the fall. And so I went out and got a sport coat for the fall, and then I said, I need another one. That one's a little bit too casual. I need one that's a little bit dressier. And so I went out and, you know, got another sport coat. But the more you have, the more you want, and greed is like that. You want more and more and more. Maybe that was the problem with the man who invited Jesus to intervene in a dispute between him and his brother. In the Bible, if you notice, the siblings are always fighting with each other. It's always brother against brother and sister against sister. They're always fighting against each other. And apparently, these two brothers have been fighting, and they're fighting over an inheritance. They're fighting over something that's been passed down to them. And so they want Jesus to intervene in this dispute that they're having about their inheritance. And we might expect Jesus to to have intervened by talking about fairness and the importance of sharing. But Jesus doesn't do any of that. He doesn't intervene at all. In fact, he refuses to. Instead, Jesus does what he often does best. He tells a story, tells a parable. A parable about a man who has been blessed with a bumper crop. A man who suddenly has more grain than he knows what to do with. And it's interesting because the man in the parable, he doesn't take the time to give thanks for his blessing. He doesn't take the time to say thank you. Instead, he is totally self-absorbed. He doesn't consult anyone. He doesn't thank anyone. He doesn't care about anyone. He doesn't talk to anyone. The only person he talks to is himself. And he doesn't say to himself the things that we might have hoped he would have said. He doesn't say, "Self, I've been blessed with a bumper crop. Therefore, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to be a blessing to my neighbors?" He doesn't say, "Self, I'm going to go down and help the family down the road who wasn't able to cultivate a crop this season because of illness." He doesn't say, "I'm going to go down to the orphanage and give grain there because they are always in need of resources." He doesn't say, "I'm going to give a little bit more back to the Lord for the blessings that the Lord has bestowed upon me." He doesn't say anything like that. Instead, his only concern is the size of his barns. And that's what he says to himself. I'm going to tear down my barns, and I'm going to build bigger barns that are bigger than you've ever seen before, the biggest barns you've ever seen. I'm going to store all my wheat, and I'm going to relax and eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And I have to say, that makes sense to me. Doesn't that make sense to you? Does that make sense to you? Isn't that what we all want, to feel secure? To have enough to cover any contingency and not have to worry about the future? Isn't that what all the smart people tell us to strive for? To strive to make sure that we have enough? Unfortunately, for the rich man, there's another voice in this parable, and it's the voice of God. And even though the man never addresses God in any way, God addresses him. And God says to him, "You fool, this very day," this day, not tomorrow as you were planning, but "this very day, your life is being demanded of you." And please note what the parable doesn't say. The parable doesn't say that God killed a man. It doesn't say that God cut his life short because he was greedy. It doesn't say anything like that. It just says that God pronounces a verdict over the man. And the verdict is that the man is a fool. "You fool." Can you imagine saying that to some of the well-heeled people in our society today? Can you imagine going to Bill Gates or to Elon Musk or to any of the other heavy hitters and saying, "You fool"? They would show us their bank account. They would show us all that they have, and they would say, "We're hardly a fool." But that's what God tells this man who has this bumper crop and who desires to build bigger and better barns. He says, you are a fool. And he's a fool because he's trying to secure a future that isn't promised to anyone. And he thinks that his possessions will help secure that future. But Jesus says that tomorrow isn't promised to any of us. So to spend our lives trying to secure the future by building bigger barns and bigger sheds and bigger bank accounts and bigger 401ks and pension funds, all of that doesn't matter. What matters is day by day trust in the God who has all of our lives in his hands. Andrew Pryor says that the worst thing about possessions is that they can help us to think that we are like God in the wrong sense. They let us think that we have a hedge against the worst things that can happen in life. That we can buy our way out of being creatures who are dependent upon God. If we just have enough money, we don't have to worry about things. We can take care of it. If we just have enough money, we can take care of every contingency. If we have enough money, we don't have to worry about depending on God. All we have to do is to depend on our own bank account, on our own resources, on our own possessions. We have all that we need in order to secure our lives and secure our future. But God says, you fool. This very day, your life is being demanded of you. And all of that striving, all of that hoarding, all of that trying to secure yourself against the future, all that stuff that you've accumulated, then who's it going to be? I think one of the saddest photos I ever seen was one I saw about 20-some years ago. It was a photo of Steve Jobs, the founder and CEO of Apple. And he was standing in what looked like a garden with his wife. And his body was emaciated by the cancer, the terminal cancer that was taking his life. And it was a sad picture because you're thinking, this is one of the most wealthiest men in the world. He has all the money that you could want. This is a man who is used to commanding things and getting what he wants. And here he is at this moment. And the thing that he wants more than anything else is life. The thing that he wants more than anything else is to spend more time with his family, to spend more time with his wife. And none of that can help him. Jesus says that if you want to be rich, forget about trying to be rich in the ways of the world. If you want to be rich in the ways of God. Be rich towards God. I think that a big part of the dysfunction of our society today, and indeed a big part of the problems of the world, stems from greed. A deep-seated greed. Greed that's at the center of our society, that's the center of our life, indeed at the center of our world. Greed, who's going to get the most of the stuff? There are people that you would think have way more than enough, way more than what they need, but that's not enough. They want more and more and more. They're never satisfied. They have to have more and more. And the rest of us are tempted to emulate them and to believe that's what it means to live, to have more and more and more. not just more material things, but more status, more prestige, more prominence. We're constantly looking for more, constantly jockeying for more stuff. Constantly at loggerheads with our neighbors, constantly at loggerheads with our brothers and sisters. We want more. And this jockeying for more leads to all kind of other nasty things like anger and wrath and malice and slander and abusive language and divisiveness. And Jesus sees all of our clamoring. He sees all of our desires for possessions. He sees the way we treat each other. He sees how our thirst is never slacked for things. And he just shakes his head and he says, you fools. This very day, your lives are being demanded of you. What if we took that seriously in our society? What if we took Jesus' warnings to be on guard against all manner of greed? The good news for you and me is that our lives, all of our lives, have already been demanded of us. As the Apostle Paul tells us in his letter to Colossians, you and I have already died. We have already died to the world. We've been crucified, dead, and buried in Christ. And we have already been raised with Christ. And our lives are hidden in Christ. And so Paul says we've already died. We've already died to the world. And so Paul says, seek the things that are above. Seek the things that are of God. Seek the real treasure that can sustain your lives. Seek the things that are above. I think one of the worst things that we could hear is God's indictment over our lives if we fail to seek the things that are above. Can you imagine living your life and then one day standing before the throne of God and God saying, you fool, I gave you all the time in the world. I gave you all the time you needed. I gave you all the time you needed to do what I wanted you to do. And what did you do with that time? Did you do the things that were necessary? Did you come close to the people I wanted you to come close to? Did you love the people you should have been loving? What did you do with that time? But you used it to get more and more things. You fool. Think standing before the Lord and the Lord saying, you fool, I gave you everything you needed. I gave you all the resources that you needed in order to do what I wanted you to do. You had everything you needed to do. But instead you used them on yourself and you used them to try to acquire more and more and more. You were never satisfied with what I gave you. Instead, you were constantly clamoring for more and more and more, you fool. It would be some heartbreaking words to hear from the Lord. But the good news is that we have heard something else, you and I. We have heard God's love for us. We have heard God's grace. We have heard God's mercy. We have heard God pulling us out of the mirror and the mire of the world. We have heard God reminding us of who we are, that we belong to Him. We heard God tell us to seek the things that are above, the things of love and grace and mercy and forgiveness, the things that bring community and togetherness, the things that call us out into the world as God's people in the midst of a world that seems dominated by slander and malice and all kinds of brokenness. It's out into that world that we are sent with the good news. You don't have to be greedy anymore. You don't have to seek possessions anymore. You don't have to spend your time trying to build bigger barns. You don't have to spend your time trying to build bigger houses. You don't have to spend your time looking to buy a bigger car. You don't have to spend your time trying to have more and more and more. All you need is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is all in all. And if you have Him and the kingdom, you have everything you need. So seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first God's love. Seek first the things that are above. Become rich for God. And when you become rich for God, you are rich indeed. Because those are the riches that lead to eternal and abundant life for all of God's people. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we live in a world where we are so choked by our desires to have things, things that we believe will bring us life, things that we believe that can secure our futures, things that we've made out of idols, things we are willing to kill for. Help us to turn our hearts away from what the world tells us is important. And help us to seek the things that are above, the things where You reside, the things where our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is at the right hand of glory, the things that bring healing and love and forgiveness and reconciliation to our world. Help us to seek Your heart, so that our hearts might be moved and changed as people in Your own likeness. Fill us with Your Holy Spirit so that we might move in ways that bear witness to who You are and what You desire, that we all be rich in You and in the things that bring life. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.